Well, welcome to the Focus on Christ podcast.
Yep, I'm Jack.
And I'm John.
And we're here on a mission
to help you focus on Christ. So, yeah, sometimes I feel redundant. We say that over and over, but you know what? We're human and we need that over and over.
We need to be reminded of all these things.
Right. Because life is so full of distractions. So full of distractions. Honestly, just real quick, I want to say that's part of the reason why I think it's so important to have the community and the fellowship of church.
Oh, sure.
You know, the word church actually means gathering. It doesn't mean a building that you go to. It means a gathering, and it's the gathering of believers. It's the gathering of people who want to focus on Jesus. And it's that weekly reminder where we get together and worship and listen to His Word and focus on Him. If you're not actively engaged with a faith community where you can meet together, I would strongly encourage you to do so.
Yeah, I think it's important to think about the other aspect of that. Not only are we gathered together, but we're the called out ones. And so you've been called out of the world to this very special gathering, this very special group of people brought in unity and love by Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you want to get together is my thought. And so many people are, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, the Bible says. And all the more as the day of Christ approaches when He comes back again, the worse the world gets, I think the more we need each other.
Right.
We need the unity. We need the harmony. We need the worship and the praise. We need to gather together, not only to fellowship, but to worship God. And I think that we're remiss if we start to miss church. I think that it's not a good thing that's happening these days where people are kind of going elsewhere or kind of falling away from gathering themselves together. Anyway, that was my two cents.
I agree. I don't think we can blame it all on 2020. I mean, I think 2020 created its own problems because, you know, you couldn't get together.
Yeah.
And a lot of church shifted towards, online messaging. And they had to because you wanted to still be able to reach your people. But you couldn't do it in person. But I do think that there's way more involved in that. It's not a simple question or a simple answer. I was talking with my son about this recently, and he's a part of a smaller church. It's kind of a church plant, and they've been growing over about the past 7 years, and we're talking about some of the difficulties with church. And, you know, you're saying, why wouldn't you want to get together? And I'm immediately thinking, well, I can think of a lot of reasons to not want to get together. And the number one is the other people that are there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's so many things that come between us, that separate us. And I think that's a big part of it. And it leads me back to our core mission here, which is helping people focus on Christ. Because if I'm not going to church because, you know, you've done something that I don't like, or, you know, this other guy's done something, or whatever it is, I'm focused on the wrong thing.
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, I think that the technology was there prior to 2020, where we were doing broadcast, and but basically the thought of that was for people who were sick and shut in, could not get out, couldn't go to church, or people who were on vacation or something, missing church, and they could always, you know, go online and get the service, get the message. But then I think it almost became an excuse, sort of, for not going. Oh, I've got the technology. I can be here with my family, those kind of things. And
I mean, I've been guilty. You know, we've had mornings where we just got a little lazy and didn't have the motivation to get up and start doing stuff. And then it's like, well, you know what, we'll just watch online.
I wouldn't fault you for that. But
I would if it's a pattern.
Well, certainly if you stopped going altogether, which was my next thought. My next thought was then there are those who you get up, you sleep in, you don't, and then you don't turn it on. You don't watch it. You know, eventually that's the mode of humanity, I think. Human nature is to just kind of fade away, a slow fade away, and then make our excuses, justify ourselves, and there you go. The people are hypocrites, you know, and on and on and on, whatever our excuses become. But that was one of the things that you and I were looking at was in the Ephesians 5 passage. It's interesting how in Ephesians 5:1 it says, therefore be imitators of God. He says, as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. And what God needed and God wanted was community and fellowship. In the beginning, he had fellowship with the Son, with the Spirit. They were one, and he created man to be in fellowship with them. And so if we're going to be like God and imitate him and walk in love, we have to understand the nature of his love. It's parent to child. He loves us like his child. We are the children of God. And so we are to imitate God. That means to kind of mimic God. I can remember a few of the commercials back in the day. You remember the commercial of the dad walking down in the kind of in the woods, and his son is following along, and the dad bends over and picks up a rock and throws it. The little boy bends over, picks up a rock and throws it. You know, he walks a little further and he kicks a stick or something. The little boy kicks a stick and just does everything. Then finally comes to a tree, and the dad sits down. And so the little boy sits down right beside the dad, and then the dad picks out a pack of cigarettes, puts in the cigarette. Do you remember that?
No.
That commercial? And so then the little boy picks up something, you know, off the ground and sticks it. And then obviously the commercial was, be careful, you know, people are watching and, you know, la, la, la. But that's so very true, you know, to be a mimic of God or to mimic other people. Paul said, be like me as I am like Christ. Imitate me. Well, that can be good. That can be bad. Imitate me. Imitate the good things I do, but don't imitate all the bad things that I do.
Right.
And you kind of think about that sometimes. You get to be a grandpa and you got all these little grandchildren. And you want them to, you know, make sure they're imitating God. One of my grandchildren the other day, it was interesting. He said a bad word. Did I say this last time? I hope I didn't. Did I say this last time?
I don't remember it.
So one of my little grandsons, a real smart, talented, good-looking kid, said a bad word. And so Sis comes running downstairs immediately to tell Mom that he said a bad word. And so he came down, and Mom scolded him and didn't overreact, you know, told him not to do that. Well, I had to stick my two cents in. So I said, do you know where bad words come from? And he said, nowhere. I said, well, that's in your heart. There's something in your heart, because the Bible says that what is in your heart comes out of your mouth. So if you put bad things in your heart, then bad things are going to come out. And he says, well, blood comes out of my heart. And I said, oh, okay. Well, that's literal. That's true. But I'm talking spiritually. And he said, okay, Grandpa, I turned and ran upstairs. So that's the human nature, right? He was getting a little bit scolded by the Bible, and I think it kind of got to him a little bit, so he didn't want to hear it. I'm out.
I'm glad that was his answer when you asked him where do the bad words come from, because I thought you were going to say they come from Mom or they.
Oh,
come
no,
from
no, no, no! He didn't hear that at home, honestly. Yeah, honestly, not.
Oh,
but if they hear one, that's the one they'll say.
Right,
they'll repeat it.
Well, I will tell you, I think you hit it on the head when you said that, you know, we need to be like children and imitate God, and like the kid in the TV ad. If you're close to him, imitating him is going to be more natural. You know, you're not going to have to think about that. It's going to become second nature to you. And all the time you hear people talk about how important it is what you teach your kids, what you say to your kids. Those things are important, but that's not what teaches your children. What teaches your children is what they see you doing and how they see you acting and how they see you treating other people. Mm-hmm. That's what they're learning.
Right. That's why this passage kind of goes on and starts. And I know we weren't supposed to go on, but when you read verse 1, you got to read verse 2, and then you got to. But verse 1 says to walk in love as imitators of God, you know, as dearly loved children of God. So because you are dearly loved, I love that. It says as beloved children, as dearly loved children, mm-hmm. loved by God, then we are supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's the next thing. In verse 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So the first thing you're supposed to do up there is it says, walk in love. In verse 8, it says, walk in light. And so that's the example we follow in Christ. He is the light of the world, and he is certainly love. That's who God is. And interestingly enough, if you go down to verse, I think it's 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So God is truth. God is wisdom. So walk in wisdom. Walk in truth. So there's your sermon, John. 3 points. Walk in love, walk as children of light, walk in wisdom. Yeah. And that's imitating God.
I remember a story that Chris Philbeck told when he first came to Mount Pleasant 22 years ago. It'd be 22 years this October. And his daughter, Tricia, would have been like eighth grade, I think, at the time. So middle school.
Yeah.
And his son was getting ready to be a junior in high school. And, you know, he's presented with this opportunity to come to Indiana and leave his church in, I think, Oklahoma. Okay. And that's a big move, no matter where you are in life. But when you've got two kids that are at that stage of life in school, it's kind of even bigger. And he was telling the story of driving in the car with his wife, Sandy, sitting beside him, and Tricia, the middle school daughter, sitting in the back seat. And he's asking her, you know, how she would feel about them moving to Indiana to take on the senior pastor role. And she said, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. She quoted these two verses from Ephesians 5.
Oh, really?
You know,
an eighth grader.
Eighth grader, quoting scripture to her dad, the pastor. You know, she learned that stuff because he was modeling it, not just because he was saying it. And I'm sure that wasn't the only thing that motivated him. But I'm telling you what, when you're, you know, 14-ish year old daughter tells you that, how can you say no to because not only is it coming from her, but she's pulling that right out of God's word.
I bet that was kind of a mind blow.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's why it stuck with me all these years, because I thought, wow, you know, out of the mouth of babes, you know. Yeah. So I'm not calling you a babe,
well,
Tricia.
And that's the thing, is that we as individuals mimic the ones that we're following.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think dad at that age, I'm sure, is her hero.
Oh.
And you know, as she is following him, she's mimicking him. So she's probably heard him answer a question with the scriptures. And so she did probably the same thing, which I think is amazing for that to happen.
This is off topic, but I have to share it too, because I remember another time when Chris was talking to his wife, Sandy, and he was going on about some big explanation for something, and she used a scripture on him.
like a proverb.
She said,
listen twice as much.
She said, where words are many, sin is not absent.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I'm not suggesting you use scripture as a weapon. My mom and I used to battle with that. I would do something and she'd say, children, obey your parents in the Lord that you may live long on the earth. Yeah, then I would come back with that.
Do not exasperate your children to anger.
I would come back with that. So we do. We need to make good choices. We need to walk in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's the thing that is so difficult, I think, today, because you have so many voices and you have so much division and you have so much negativity and hatred and all of these things that, you kind of want him to get what he deserves. And that should absolutely not, that does not mimic the Father in heaven. God is love, God is grace, he loves us all. And I think that we need to be looking that way. Somewhere or another along the line, the evil has to stop.
Right.
Somebody has to stop returning evil for evil. Somebody has to begin to return good for evil. Somebody needs to be Jesus is one of my favorite little phrases. You know, if you're in a situation where you got friends and, you know, you're having a discussion and you're not getting anywhere, you know, well, somebody needs to be Jesus here, right? And just something to think about. But yeah, when you walk in the light, when you walk as Christ walked, as you mimic him, then what are you going to do? You're going to do what he did, which was gave himself up for us. That is how he expressed his love. So if you walk in love as God is love, to mimic him, then that means sacrifice and giving of yourself, I think. And we need a little bit more of that.
I think it's important to note, too, that, you know, Jesus didn't do that because it was a mechanical obligation. He did it because he loves us. You know, the verse says that he looked on the crowd with compassion, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He could have very easily honed in on all their flaws, all their faults. This guy hasn't done anything to deserve to be part of my kingdom. No, that's not how he looks at us. He looks at us with love and with compassion. And
yeah, if you looked at our faults, we'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the old song, we used to sing it, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Right.
And that was a song that we used to sing.
I was thinking about Danny Boy.
Yeah, that's the melody.
Right.
We're thinking about the same
right,
song.
Right, I know. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Yeah, so that was...
Yeah. Amazing grace shall always be my... Song of praise. Danny Boy.
Yeah. All right. I think we pretty much beat that.
That's what you got. That's what you got.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I just hope that, together we can focus on Jesus and imitate him and the way that he loves, that we can be patient with each other, and that we can feel that compassion for other people instead of contempt. It's not part of our nature, but it is his nature, and that's what I want to embrace.
I think there's one more walk that we could maybe end with. We walk in love, walk in light as he is in the light, walk in wisdom circumspectly, and then because of his love, because he gave himself for us, walk in purity.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those going, then I believe that we are then walking wisely. We are mimicking our Father who is in heaven.
So. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.